From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before I introduce this week's guest, I want to let Naps Chat listeners know about a recently filed document by the United States Postal Service in a PRC-initiated, that is, Postal Regulatory Commission-initiated public inquiry into the agency's so-called Delivering for America plan. The USPS drafted document basically laid out its reasons for concealing most, if not all, the data that it has and will continue to use to proceed with its facility realignment and consolidation plan. In sum, the Postal Service argues that filing the material under seal is due to the USPS's belief that revealing the data would undermine its commercial interests and the Postal Service's internal deliberative process. It would appear, however, that shrouding the data contradicts the letter and intent of a Postal Regulatory Commission-initiated public inquiry. Now permit me to introduce today's guest on Naps Chat, Naps Executive Vice President Chuck Mulledor. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Chuck.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here with you always.
Chuck, on Naps Chats in the past, you have spoken about your constitutional responsibilities to oversee Naps's legislative and political activities. And clearly there's a lot going on Capitol Hill these days. In fact, today you were presenting to the California Postal Legislative Coalition on Naps's legislative activities. But for this week's Naps Chat, we will focus on another major responsibility within your portfolio, the Naps Disciplinary Defense Fund. Could you explain what the defense fund is?
Yeah, Bob, again, thanks for having me on Naps Chat. I always enjoy being here and talking with our members. You're right to sidebar a little bit on the legislative activity. It never seems to slow, even in the summer recess periods. It never seems to slow down. And obviously, we're still actively involved in promoting Naps's agenda on the Hill. But you're right. Another one of my responsibilities is to help administer or to administer the DDF, the Disciplinary Defense Fund, which was established on behalf of NAPS members who might find themselves in an adverse action, some RIF situations, or debt collection cases. So it's in Article 9 of our Constitution and bylaws. It's in the bylaws section, and it establishes what the DDF is all about. And again, one of my responsibilities is to make sure that we represent all of our members to the best that we possibly can who may find themselves in some of these difficult situations.
The DDF, or the Disciplinary Defense Fund, can be characterized as an insurance policy. You hope you never need it,
right,
or you never use it.
Right.
But sometimes stuff happens. Why is it necessary to protect yourself through our defense fund?
Well, the defense fund is to help you get through what would be a complicated process otherwise, especially if you were able to have your case represented through the Merit System Protection Board, MSPB. For the average person to kind of work their way through that whole process would be very difficult. So the DDF is staffed by some attorneys, some former labor managers, some very professional people who may have worked in the Postal Service that represent our members through these difficult processes and hope to get them the best possible outcomes. And you're right, it's an insurance policy. I often talk about car insurance and how I just hate to pay that car insurance bill every month or every 6 months, however you pay it. But you know what? When you need it and something happens to your car, it sure comes in handy. And the DDF is one of those things that we think is valuable to our members. So if you need it, it's there. We hope you never do. But if you do, we're going to give you world-class representation as part of it.
You reference like an automobile policy or health insurance policy. Now, most insurance policies have a deductible, which means you have to pay an out-of-pocket cost before the insurance kicks in. How much is the deductible on the defense fund?
Well, the only deductible, to use that phrase, that you would have is your membership. So whatever your branch charges as far as membership, that is your deductible for the insurance policy that the DDF provides. So With all the many benefits of NAPS membership, this is just one of those that's included in your membership. There's never going to be any charge to you as a member if you use our DDF. It's a great value, and it represents our folks at the very highest levels that we possibly can.
Is there a catastrophic limit on the policy? Again, using the insurance analogy.
Right. No. Our cases are normally less than $3,500. That's what we pay. The attorneys and the advocates that work for the DDF agree to take that fee. It rarely goes over that. And I think it's very well priced in terms of what the value that you get for it. Again, it's just the cost of membership. You're not going to have to pay out of your pocket. You're not going to have to pay any kind of fees after the fact. It's a benefit of NAPS membership.
To defend yourself, and you might have alluded to this, how much does the average defense of an adverse action cost? Is it expensive?
Well, if you had to go out and hire your own attorney to represent you, let's say an MSPB case, could be thousands and thousands of dollars. A complicated process to file the paperwork correctly to you're facing in this situation, a MSPB judge and the Postal Service would have a professional person representing them who does these types of cases. So you would be, I think, in a very difficult situation trying to represent yourself. So for NAPS members, again, which the cost is nothing to be a this other benefit of membership, but NAPS pays the bills for this, right? So in our fiscal year, which just ended in May 31st of 2023, our fiscal year is run from June 1st through May 31st. So our NAPS fiscal year just ended. So I'll give this information to the executive board shortly, but we'll sneak a little bit of a preview to our membership ahead of time before the executive board gets this information. So just compiled this information recently. So we have 76 cases that went through our NAPS DDF in fiscal year 2023. Again, that ended on May 31st of 2023. So those are MSPB cases. Those are Elm 650 cases. If you don't have MSPB rights, like some 5,000 or so of our members do not, who don't supervise two or more craft employees, and debt collection cases. So we represent all of these through our DDF. And 76 total cases of that through fiscal year 23. The total cost at this point, just under $115,000 and about $2,446 per case. So it's very reasonable. It's done very well. As you can see, there's not a massive amount of cases. And we'd like to see those cases down to none, right? That'd be the goal, that nobody needs the DDF. But again, if they do, we pay the freight for that because that's a benefit and a value of NAPS membership. Now, those costs will increase a little bit because there's still some cases winding their way through the system that were filed in fiscal year 23. So in a few months, there'll be some updates to that. We'll have the finality of all the cases and the costs and so forth. But it won't be significantly higher, but there'll be some additional charges for that. So if you figure $2,500 is an average cost of a case. And again, those are MSPB cases, those are debt collection cases, and those are also Elm 650 cases for those employees who do not have MSPB rights. So it's a great value.
Is it possible for these, for to defend yourself against an adverse action, to do it yourself?
You can. I would say it's something like defending yourself maybe in a lawsuit, right? You're up against a large corporation who brings in their attorneys and all type of experts, and you're kind of there on your own. So it's like a David and Goliath situation. So why go through that if you're a NAPS member when it's not going to cost you anything to get world-class representation in that process?
Who would represent a NAPS member confronting an adverse action?
Yeah, we have a variety of advocates that are hired through our DDF, or the regular advocates. We have attorneys. We have a couple of former MSPB judges. We have former labor managers in the Postal Service. So people that have a large breadth and depth of experience and knowledge of not only the MSPB process or the Elm 650 process or the debt collection process, but also have a great background in the law that can, and postal law. It's one thing to be an attorney. It's one thing to be an attorney who understands postal rules and regulations, because that's where your MSPB case is going to be based on. So we have a whole variety of advocates that can take us through the whole process as necessary.
Could you tell us what actually is an adverse action, or, you know, enumerate what are possible adverse actions that can be taken against a postal supervisor, manager, or postmaster?
Right. So just as the name implies, an adverse action, it's an action that's a significantly strong action. Removals or downgrades, we don't really have suspensions of more than 30 days anymore. So removals or downgrades would be the two. So if by some chance you found yourself in a situation where you're given a notice of removal and you have MSPB rights because you supervise two or more craft employees, like the large majority of our members do, or you find yourself in a downgraded situation where something, again, happened to you, you got into some situation, and the result was the Postal Service was choosing to downgrade you maybe from a level 20 postmaster position to a level 17 or something to that effect. So these are adverse actions that our disciplinary defense want to represent our member, and all the way through from the initial case at going to MSPB all the way through the entire process, and hopefully fight and get a good outcome for the member.
We don't want to get to that point that
right.
There's an adverse action
exactly.
taken against a person,
mm-hmm.
but you know, as I said, things happen.
Right.
So could you tell us what are the most effective ways to reduce the chances that you don't have to avail yourself
right.
of our defense fund?
We often say that our primary job is not to get you out of trouble, but to keep you out of trouble. So we have a variety of training that we do if you're a NAPS member all across the country. There's branch meetings, there are conventions for state conventions, there are regional trainings. So there's a whole host and variety of trainings that you can attend as a NAPS member that's open to anybody. If you look on our website, NAPS.org, there's another plethora of information out there that you can avail yourself to of how to stay out of trouble and follow the rules. And I just use a rule of thumb. I think it works for most of us, if not all of us. If it doesn't sound right, it probably isn't. So follow your own personal level of integrity. Do the right thing. Don't be pressured by a POOM or a postmaster or executive that's trying to get you to do something that you know isn't right. For example, we have cases, unfortunately, going through our system where a supervisor or a manager or postmaster did not report delayed mail, or reported less than the actual amount that was delayed, or routes not getting delivered, and so forth. In many of those cases, they might have been, you know, told by some higher level person to not report it, to report only a certain amount of it, to not report all the routes that came back. And then unfortunately, sometimes somebody at a higher level than that comes into your office, or perhaps even an OIG responding to a complaint comes in to investigate and finds out that, you know, you didn't do the right thing. So you don't have to do those kind of things. If it's immoral, illegal, or otherwise not correct, you know that you have the right to refuse that type of an order. And I would strongly, and I know it's difficult, but if it doesn't sound right to you, if it doesn't seem right to you, don't do it. Because what will happen is the one who's going to face the punishment is the person that did what they thought they were supposed to do, because no one's going to back them up. So the one that actually delayed or didn't report the delayed mail correctly or so forth is the one that's going to get in trouble. So this, I think that's just a good rule of thumb. You kind of know what the right thing to do is. Just follow that as your guiding principle. It may be difficult sometimes, but nobody, and I'll strongly say this as loud and hard as I can, nobody, to my knowledge, in running the DDF has been fired for or is getting fired for having carriers out late. They're not. It's not happening. So don't allow someone to threaten you with some type of action if you do that. There are people, unfortunately, who have been faced with removal situations or downgrades because they did the wrong thing. They thought they were being told to do something. Maybe they were told to do something and they got in trouble. So follow your own internal integrity, follow your own common sense, and just follow that principle of doing the right thing. I think we all pretty much know what that is. So just use that as your guiding star, so to speak.
Assuming we go through the process, mm-hmm. that what is our batting average on DDF actions?
Well, here's the thing about us, and I'll just kind of veer off a little bit on this, but we take everything. We take all cases, okay? So sometimes there are some egregious things that one of our members unfortunately did, and we'll take that case on. So in some situations, victory might not be possible because the charge may be correct. So we try to find a settlement that works for that person. Maybe it's allowing to keep a job as a crafts employee, as a custodian, as a mailman, something to that effect. Or if it's significant enough or difficult enough to allow a person maybe to resign so they can find employment elsewhere without a mark against their employment history. And those are the egregious examples of it that we try to settle for those individuals. One thing about our other organization out there that represents supervisors and managers only in these types of actions, because they don't have the legal right to represent them in pay and benefit consultations, is they pick and choose the cases they want. So if your case is egregious, you're on your own. They're not going to help you. And normally you have to pay about $3,000 out of your own pocket to take the case forward through that other organization's defense fund. Imagine, Bob, you're in some type of removal or adverse action, maybe losing your job, and you have to pay $3,000 out of your own pocket even to get representation. I mean, that's a terrible decision to have to make. So because ours is a benefit of membership, we take all cases, and 80 to 85, 90% of our cases end up in a victory or a settlement that benefits our members. So I think we do quite well on both sides of that.
Now, we don't hear much about adverse action cases. I mean, it's not something that we promote, you know, particular cases or particular victories that we might have. Can you explain why there isn't much publicity about adverse action cases?
I think because there's not a lot of them. I think we believe in some way that there are thousands of adverse actions going on at any one time. And of our nearly 25,000 members, as I said, in this fiscal year, we had 76 cases represented through our DDF. That's not because we picked and choose the ones we want to fight for. We picked and choose the ones we think we can win. That's all of them. Again, we take everybody's case is represented by our DDF. We don't pick and choose what we think are the winners. We try to help the members, even who commit sometimes didn't make the best decisions. So I just think that there is a belief out there that there's just a myriad, hundreds and thousands of these types of cases, and there really isn't a lot. Now, if it affects you, of course, or your family, it's a significant thing, and I don't want to minimize that. But I think we don't hear about a lot just because we don't really have that many. So when I say that a benefit of your membership is the DDF, and it is, a further benefit of your membership is just being a member, all of the training, all of the experience, all the knowledge and skills that are out there that are available to you by 260-some branches across the country. Executive board members from every part of the country that help and assist in types of training. So I think we offer it all from, you know, the beginning of your career as an EAS to the day you retire. And it's all, again, it's all part of your benefit of being a member of NAPS. There's nothing else that costs you to do that. And we hope, again, that you never, ever have to have an MSPB case brought against you or an adverse action or a downgrade or anything like that. We hope that that will never happen. But in that case, in that situation where maybe you're one of those 70 or 80 some people who have that type of thing happen to them, then, you know, we're going to be there for you. But my goal and my hope is that someday we don't have DDF cases, and that's probably a pipe dream, I think. But still, what we want to offer people through training and through knowledge and through the skills that are out there to help people learn to do the right things and to support them. And I would strongly urge someone who's being told to do something that they suspect or they believe is not correct, to seek out a NAPS person before that, so that you can circumvent that type of situation happening. So all the resources are there to help you stay out of trouble, and all the resources are there to help you get out of trouble if by some chance you find yourself in that type of situation.
Now, Chuck, I got to ask this final question. We deal with each other constantly on legislative and political actions. Why is the position of executive vice president tasked with the responsibility of administering the defense fund?
Well, it's an interesting question. And I will say it this way. In the bylaws, the disciplinary defense fund is to be administered by the executive board. That's how it's kind of laid out. Okay. Now we have 24 members of the executive board, from East Coast to West Coast and the Canadian board to the Gulf of Mexico and everything in between. So it'd be kind of impractical, I guess, for the executive board to administer all the aspects of the DDF. So it's something that has evolved to be in the portfolio of the executive vice president, and that's a good place for it to reside. And work closely with UN Legislation and Al Lum, who represents our Labor Relations Admin Group, LRAG, who is our DDF provider, work with him on a regular basis as well. So it's just something I think that has kind of evolved that way, and it's a good thing. And as long as I'm here and into the future and beyond, whoever is in this position, I'm sure will continue to keep the highest levels of the DDF and make sure that it's something that our members can be proud of and can take advantage of if they need it. But when you're selling, and this is to our members out there who are listening, when you're selling NAPS, when you're telling people to join NAPS, don't hesitate to mention other laws of the great benefits we talked about, but the value of having this insurance policy to protect them in case by some chance they come across something bad in their career. And hopefully they'll have a long 30 or more year career and they won't have to take advantage of the DDF. But if by some chance they do, they'll get world-class representation and service from our DDF providers and from our executive board and from our executive vice president.
Well, Chuck, I got to say, today I learned about an issue that I've never really thought about. Thanks, Chuck.
Well, you've never needed the DDF, but you never will.
And I want to thank NAPS Executive Vice President Chuck Mulliter for joining me on this weekend.
Always an honor and a pleasure to be on with you, Bob.
Also, I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay cool.
I'm going to bend right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going